Welcome. Good morning. Thank you for joining us on this early Saturday morning after your last night networking activities. We appreciate having you here today. I'm hoping that today is going to be a memorable and lively discussion with some truly phenomenal women about what we can do about the state of women in our industry and what role can mentorship play in bringing more women into our industry and providing more leadership opportunities for women within our industry. So a couple of housekeeping items before we get started. We have switched the hashtag. So instead of TSW Mentor, because it's so long, we have abbreviated it to SXTXSW. So TXSW alone is the hashtag to follow for all things tech by superwomen, as we've added the SX for South By. We also have some pretty amazing t-shirts out, Tech Superwomen Tees, Inspire and Bold on the chairs, and we want to thank our sponsor for those t-shirts, Meshen, and they are here to launch a pretty cool app. It's called Meshen Recall. So if you're an Evernote fan, you'll love this because it allows you to take notes and then tie them to events so that you never lose when and how you were inspired in that piece of nugget of information. So Kristen Galani actually is one of the co-founders of Meshen. She's right here. And she's a pretty awesome tech superwoman herself. And so on the Tech Superwoman blog, we've highlighted her and some of her lessons for women who are entrepreneurs and trying to get into the startup space. So with that, we're going to dive in to our conversation here. How many people here are looking for mentors? Show of hands. Awesome. How many people here are looking to be a mentor? All right, this is a good mix. So hopefully we're going to have information for both of you. So there's a lot of us who are looking for mentors and who are mentoring at the same time. And so I think this will be really valuable discussion for everybody who's here. So let's jump in with quick intros of our panel and have them share a little bit with you about what mentorship has meant for them. And I'm going to start with Margot Bloomstein, and she's very cool. She comes out of Boston with Appropriate Inc., and what I love about her is she's really interested in getting to the university systems and really saying, what can we do to get young people right there addressing the issue of mentorship? So Margot, go ahead.
Hi, nice to be here this morning and see all of you. Appreciate you coming out early after whatever you were involved in last night. As Kat said, my focus on mentorship, I do like working directly with the colleagues that I have today. I'm really excited about the colleagues that I will have tomorrow, and specifically in probably like 5 to 10 years. So I do focus a lot at mentoring in university settings, going into classrooms, reviewing portfolios and resumes, and basically telling the story of here's how I got to where I am, and here's what you can do with the degree that you're getting today, in case you don't know about it. And I'm on Twitter as @mbloomstein. And as Catherine said, I'm also a brand and content strategist and the author of Content Strategy at Work.
Wonderful. Next, we have Ekaterina Walter. She's with Intel, and she's just rock star. What I love about her, she's like, ladies, let's step up to the plate and get it done. So Ekaterina, I always call her Ekaterina, why don't you go ahead and share with us, you know, what mentorship means to you?
Hi, everybody. Thank you for coming. And I love to see men in the audience as well.
Woo-hoo.
That means you guys are not scared. My name is Ekaterina Walter, and I've been in tech industry for a while. I work in Social Media Center of Excellence, which is a global team within our corporate marketing group. There's a number of people who were willing to put time and spend time with me to, you know, help me kind of navigate not only a particular, you know, company you're in, but just, you know, how to get to that next step really played a big role in my career. It is extremely, extremely hard to find good mentors. And so the more of us who are willing to, you know, spend our time like the panelist here, to mentor others, and not even a lot of times for us, it's not just mentorship. It's just that some conversation of encouragement and inspiration that we need. You know, when you have people around you in your life like that, that means a ton. So I'm trying to do it as much as I can, and I'm really encouraged to see other people do that as well. So that's what the conversation is going to be about.
Sorry, I'm like trying to retweet people's tweets about the conference at the same time. Leslie Bradshaw. What I love about her is that she's a millennial. How many millennials in the room? Yep. She is just kicking butt and taking names. She's the co-founder of Jest3, and I really like what she has to offer, especially for those of you who may also be founding companies or in major companies. She has some really interesting thoughts about how to have a paid relationship with sponsors and mentors to really take yourself to that next level. So it's going to be exciting to see what she has to offer to this panel.
Thank you, and thank you everyone for coming out. The exercise I'd love everyone to do, maybe during the panel, maybe when you get at home, but draw a line and call it your lifeline from age zero to where you are today, and plot out the things that went really well and maybe some of the things that didn't go as well. And as you look at those things, right next to it, who was important in your life at the time? When I write out, when I was early on, you know, I was into dance and painting and skiing, it was my mom. She took me to practice. She made sure I had every bit of equipment that I needed for whatever it was I was doing. And then later on in life, as I started entering the professional world, my father is an executive and I started running teams and I said, Dad, how do you fire someone? You know, and you started asking these questions that you really didn't have answers to. Mm-hmm. And it's really interesting to kind of reflect on what mentorship has meant over your life. And it's not just in a professional setting. It can be in other areas as well. Some things I'm excited to touch on today is for the first 10 years of my career, it was spent within the confines of someone else's company. And there were plenty of people to the right and to the left of me, up and down, who could provide that mentorship. But once I took the leap with my partner, Jesse of Jest3, I didn't have anybody above me. And I didn't really know the answer to a lot of questions. And that's where I went to seek out professional mentorship. And so I can kind of give some insights about the financial commitment, but also the kind of rewards that can come out of that. And I'm also a Latin is my background, so I like looking at the origins of words. And a couple things I want to throw out. The origin of mentor, the root word is mens, which means mind. And when you think about sponsor, the root word is spons, which means pledge. When you think about advisor, the root word is life. Towards life. So when we're kind of also thinking about the frameworks, we also want to think, is this about cultivation of mind, or is this about lifting up and sponsoring into that next level? And again, at different points in your life, you're going to need different things, and you can also provide different things depending on where you are. So very excited about the conversation today.
Thank you, Leslie. So finally, my true heavyweight on the panel, and I'm so honored to have her, Nilofer Merchant. For those who don't know, she is very definition of someone who's really trailblazed in our industry. She is currently a Harvard Business Review writer. She also sits on the board, corporate board advisor for a NASDAQ-traded company. I hope I'm covering all the high points. And what I love about her is she's going to really add heft because she's someone who Tara Hunt, who's part of what's Tara's company?
Biosphere.
Leslie Bradshaw actually interviewed Tara, and she talked about champions. She said, don't get yourself a hero, but get yourself a champion. And she was talking about Nilofer. So Nilofer is someone who really puts her foot down and will really step up for you. So Nilofer.
Wow, well, how do you follow an introduction like that? Heavyweight. I was sitting there thinking, did I eat too many donuts this morning? So I am the MacGyver of innovation. And I have 20 years of running businesses, both small and big. I've founded companies. I've been in startups. I teach at Stanford on entrepreneurial marketing. So I actually think about mentorship in the five places that women are underrepresented. Speaking. Women represent less than 20% of the stages, which means, of course, people see no role models. Boards. Women represent less than 10% of corporate board seats, which means we're not getting an appropriate set of governance and, therefore, profit results. Entrepreneurship, only 3% of venture-backed monies go towards women entrepreneurship, which means we're underfunding things that can fix our economy. CEOs, women represent less than 20% of CEO seats in Global 1000 companies, of course more in entrepreneurship if self-funded, and so on. So if you think about all the places where women are represented in investment, in entrepreneurship, in leadership roles, board roles, and speaking roles, we're missing role models and therefore undermining the capital structure of what we can actually do to our economy. And so that's the main reason is I'm very results-oriented, and I really want to figure out how to fix this problem systemically.
Excellent. So from there, let's jump in. I think Leslie kind of primed the pump for us. Let's talk about the definition of mentorship. You know, what does a mentor look like? What is mentorship? And there's a lot of different definitions out there, so I'd love to hear from the panel kind of where you're leaning in terms of what has the greatest value. Margot.
Thank you. So for me, mentorship, as I look around, takes a lot of different forms. Like Leslie, when I look back to like growing up, obviously my mentors were my parents, also teachers and other educators, kind of in more informal roles in my life as well. But then as I've gotten older, I've had formal mentors as well as more informal mentors. In one of my first jobs, I was at a large consultancy that had a formal program where you were assigned a career manager. And that was somebody that acted as your advocate. So that's sort of one definition that I would use for a mentor. And that's somebody that maybe crosses the line a little bit into sponsorship, but basically saying, hey, for the types of things that you've said you want to learn or you want to do, and at this point I was 22 right out of college, so there was a lot that I wanted to learn and do. For the types of things that you want to learn, I think that you should pursue these sort of projects. And now I don't have somebody in that formal role in my life, but I still hear that voice because even now, like 10, 15 years later, there's still a lot that I want to learn and do. And I think because I had that early encouragement from somebody formally assigned to that role, it's allowed me to continue to kind of dream big and figure out, okay, what do I need to be learning next for where I want to go next and for what I want to do next? So for me, a mentor is that sort of informed, educated advocate that has come before me, maybe knows how to chart that course, and can point me in that direction.
Excellent. Ekaterina, how are you defining mentorship?
Well, to me, I think there's several basic elements of a mentor. First of all, it's the person who helps contribute to your knowledge base, right? A lot of times we pick a mentor who is older because they have all this experience and all this knowledge and that you don't have. And if you really, really, you know, if you really want to make change in the world and really do awesome things from early age, you know it. You just might not have an opportunity to, you know, meet somebody like that. So that's, I think, one aspect. And the other aspect is it's somebody who has faith in you. A lot of times it's about knowledge. It's also about network. Your mentor has a big network, so your mentor a lot of times connects you to a lot of other people to open up doors or help you find those opportunities. But I think the biggest role that mentor can serve in your life is to have faith in you, encourage you, uplift you. A lot of times we know we can do certain things, but we get, you know, sometimes tired, sometimes discouraged. It's somebody who you call up or meet up with and they say, you can do it. Put your cape on, Superman or Superwoman, and go do it, you know, and I have faith with you. So, you know, it can be anybody, or, you know, your parents, your family, your friends.
And having faith doesn't look like, yeah, yeah, like awesome. Yeah, yeah. It can actually be something more like, shut the fuck up and get out there.
Exactly.
Right? Because sometimes we allow ourselves to be whiny and sit there and give ourselves an excuse why not to step up to the table. I mean, you know, I say that with great self-love, and hopefully there's a lesson in that for other people, is we can sit there and go, gosh, you know, I can't do it, right? And it's the person who comes along and goes, excuse me, you have done it, and here's what you promised yourself you would do.
Exactly. Go do it. Accountability.
So it's not nice stuff. It can be hard-ass stuff.
That's my last
kind
point.
Kind of the tough
was,
love.
Yeah. My last point was about honesty, right? Is, you know, you can be friends with a lot of awesome, smart people, but a lot of times they let that friendship get in the way and say, yeah, no, that, you know, that's fine. But somebody who comes in and says, I love you, and what I'll tell you is the honest truth. This is where you lack, and this is what you need to do, and honestly stop whining, just like you said. Is that type of, how, you know, somebody who can have the balance is, I have faith in you, I want to see you succeed, but I want... that's why I'm going to give you that.
So I'm just going to interject with a quick example of this. So we were at the Huffington Post dinner for women last night, and one of the people who were there was a young woman from Daily Muse. How many of you guys have heard of Daily Muse? Mm-hmm. Show of hands. Pretty awesome website, especially for young professional women. And she was talking about Rachel Skylar. Now, Rachel Skylar is the person who started Change the Ratio, which is looking at how do we change the ratio of women to men in places like boards and in companies. And she said, you know, they were non-technical group of founders who wanted to start this company, and they were not applying for funding because they thought they wouldn't get in. And she said, Rachel kicked their butt. She's like, what the heck are you guys doing? You need to apply. You know, don't say no to yourself. So it's a great example of, you know, good mentors will tell you, step up.
So Leslie's model is one kind of, really to kind of turn back to you, right? There was men's, there was sponsor, there was advisor. So one is knowledge transfer. The second one was sponsorship, meaning network. Just think about networks. Networks is actually how everything gets done, and we can talk more about that. And the third one is who helps you towards your own vision of your own life.
Yes.
And so I'll just share one vignette. So a woman asked for a mentoring thing, and one of my ways of doing mentoring that so it doesn't drain me is to go on hikes. It self weeds out a bunch of people who actually are not fit.
So. I went on one with Nilo.
That's how we
awesome.
Met. And so I do hikes, and people will travel in just for these hikes and stuff. It's kind of ridiculous to me. But anyway, so I went on this hike with this woman, and this woman said, I really think I'm a leader. And then right after she said it, she laughed, which of course undermined what she was saying. And I don't think she hurt herself. So 25 minutes later, as we're talking about something, I said, can I just ask you if you heard yourself back there, you know, mile two kind of thing. And I'm thinking she's going to run the opposite way, and the hike's, I'm going to go this way, and she's going to go back to her car. And I had this conversation, and she started crying, but she had this moment where somebody actually just did a reflection, right? And I wasn't actually judging her, but I was advising her. Does that make sense? Towards who she wanted to be. And that advice was not easy. And one of the questions I asked her is, what would it look like if you were a leader? And why does it scare you to be a leader? Right? Just a whole series of questions that went down this track so that she could ask herself those questions. It didn't matter what the answer was for me. But who's going to be the one in your life who's helping you see yourself in the bigger meta framework of who you want to be?
That's beautiful. I love it. Leslie, why don't you share
just a couple
with us?
More points. I think everyone's touched on some great stuff. I want to add discipline to the mentorship relationship. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people say, oh, yeah, you know, I want to mentor. You know, I want to lose some weight. I want to be smarter. But they aren't willing to put in the time. And I've spent the last year paying a significant amount of money to a firm that I have a professional mentor. And we have homework. And we have regular meetings. And we have touch points. And we have goals. And we have benchmarks. And we work towards that. And I would say that kind of discipline, I need that structure. I've always loved that kind of structure. Some people can do it without, but I would say making sure to have consistency and discipline. And one other element I want to add is a mutual benefit to the relationship. Really need to align incentives, because you have these people who are older, who are further along in their career, who have a lot of responsibilities. At that point, they probably also have a family. You start thinking about why would they give a significant chunk of their time, energy, effort towards me? And the way I've been able to do it is I trade a little bit of consulting. As a digital native or a millennial, I can help people that are in their 50s and 60s. And what we do is we have a mutual relationship. So I bring to the table insights about technology that's kind of second nature to me, while they bring in insights about business, about scaling, about profitability, about personnel, a lot of things that I'm needing as I look to expand the company that I run. So just to recap, aligning incentives and discipline, I think, are two other elements to make a successful mentorship.
Before we move to the next point, Nilofer, did you have anything else you wanted to add on mentorship and definition? So I want to take a quick poll. We really do want this to be interactive, and after we get through some of these questions, we really want to open it up and have you guys asking your questions. My question for the audience, if we can show of hands, how many of you feel like you haven't had as many mentors or mentorship opportunities as you would like? Yeah. It's real. How many of you guys feel like you haven't been able to mentor as many people as you like? You guys need to look at these hands. You just need to start matching some people up today. So my next question, and I think Leslie was kind of getting to this too, there was a great article in the Wall Street Journal about reverse mentoring, and it was talking about this new phenomenon in a lot of businesses where they are aligning senior executives with people who are relatively new to the organization for a reverse mentorship in exchange. And I've always found when I'm mentoring or being mentored, I'm always getting something out of it, or because it's such a strong relationship, I feel like I'm giving something back. So what I'd love us to talk about is, as mentors on this panel, what do you look for in deciding to mentor someone? And then as someone who's seeking a mentor or has sought a mentor in the past, what has been some of the toughest things about finding a mentor? And Nilofer, if you can especially talk to some of the inherent value maybe that someone in a senior position as a mentorship gets out of mentoring someone, and also the structure that you do to weed out so that you can help identify someone to put your resources to. So I'm going to start with you.
Okay. So a couple things. Some approaches I've taken over time, and they've evolved. One is, for a long time I took one-on-one meetings, and I was basically just in the meeting trying to help. And they were what I'll call random selection, right? People who basically pitched me and stuff. And then I realized that I wasn't actually feeling like people were crossing finish lines and such. So then I switched to it, and plus I got asked more and more, the more public I became, the more I became known as a national speaker and stuff, and that became demanding. And I was like, oh my God, that's not scalable. So then I put in a second method I went to was every year I pick one. I pick it in December. If you're interested at all, write to me by December 15th, because somewhere around that time, I'm going to have a conversation and figure out who's best. Ask me the question you want mentoring on, because what I need to do is a matchup. Do I believe I can actually help you in that domain? Do I have the right set of contacts? Do I believe knowledge domain, et cetera? And by the way, here's the whole trick of mentoring, which no one's going to tell you, but I will. It's all about the question in your own head. If you know what you want mentoring on, you're like 90% there. And so by asking people to ask me the question about what are they, you know, I actually did a great job by just sort of saying, what is it you want? And as soon as you can self-identify what it is you want, you can figure out 9 people, the 10, it's an uncountless number of people you can actually find to help you solve that particular problem. So that's one thing. And then I chose them for a year. I actually had an entire page I would send out about, here's sort of our agreement. I will meet with you. I'll meet with you for an hour once a month. You will come to me. I will not come to you. You will do your homework. If you don't do your homework, you're not allowed to come to the meeting. It was really hard ass. It really was, I have to admit. And I did it as a way of basically creating a contract. Like, I'm behind you. So I do much more sponsorship and advisor, right? I don't do that initial knowledge transfer because I actually think that's not a good use of my time. Mm-hmm. But if I'm going to plug you into my network, you better be doing your work, right? And so that's been the thing. And I've only had a couple people jettison out of the process. So I did that for about 5 years. And that was actually, all those people are really good friends since then. And now I've moved to this, talking about exchange, now I've moved to this much more mutuality kind of context about, I at least get a hike out of it.
Can I just interject? What's really cool is I know she's talking about this formal process and one person a year. I wasn't one of those people. I started Tech by Superwoman last year at South by Southwest, and I wanted to get a tweet up together, some awesome women who I thought would rock. And I've been following Niloufer on Twitter, and I just thought, wow, she is just so smart and so cool and so kind. Seriously, it did. And I wanted to connect with her. So I sent her a LinkedIn request because it was the only way I could figure to get her radar. And what I love is she has a sense of these boundaries, and she kind of puts up these barriers, and she's like, well, I don't normally accept LinkedIn requests from someone who I haven't actually met in person, but, you know, here's the place to connect to me. And I was like, do you know of anyone who I should invite to the tweet up? And so she gave me some names. And then I was at this point where I was ready to really start thinking about transitions. I'm from Alaska, by the way, so this is very important. From Alaska, so I'm networking with people all across the country using social technology. And I sent her a note, and I said, hey, I'm coming to California, and I really value some of your time. And I had read about her test, so I did my homework. I saw on her blog her test. And she said, well, are you up for a hike? Even though I'm from Alaska, I'm not a hiker. So I'm putting her, I'm like, yes, I am. I'd love to hike. And so
she just lied.
Just from that, and I was in San Francisco, and I traveled out to where she is, and we had just this amazing afternoon. And what I love about that is, you know, she had room for me outside of her traditional process, and it's been an incredibly valuable relationship and connection for me to make.
But the burden's on the person. The burden's on the person. It's not on me.
It's like a barrier to entry, right? If you really want it, you need to not waste my time. If you really want it, you need to put in the effort.
And right. I think there's a know thyself element in there too. Like you were saying, you really have to be able to know your needs and know your question and what is it that you most want to do. Because a good mentor, sort of like maybe a good therapist that isn't imposing their values on you, but rather is helping you to become the idealized version of yourself. A good mentor will help you align your actions with your goals, mm-hmm. and maybe also identify some new goals along the way that fit with what you really want and that deep burning need.
I love that. Leslie, did you have anything you wanted to add about finding a mentor, being a mentor?
Just keep it moving.
Feeling great.
Next question.
I want to do a quick poll. How are you guys feeling about the content? We really want to make sure this is answering the things you're looking for. So by show of hands, are you feel like you're getting out of it so far what you were hoping to? It's a good show of hands. Okay.
You can pass notes, by the way.
Maybe for those who don't, haven't they gotten some of the questions answered, we can...
We're going to open the mic, so make sure, for those of you who feel like we aren't touching on something, you know, that we're doing that. I kind of want to pop in something a little more hot water based, but before I do, I just want to honor someone who's pretty phenomenal. Issa Blue Herrera Grant is here. Issa, will you stand up?
She's 12 years old.
Can you stand on your chair so they can see you? Maybe your dad can help you. This is a 12-year-old who started blogging in 2008. So her blog is bluecloud.com, and blue is spelled B-L-E-U. We just met her. Her father brought her up here right before a panel, and we got some photos with her. And she's such an inspiration. She's this young woman who's already accessing publishing platforms and developing her own voice. And we were so honored to have her come here, and I just wanted to give her some recognition as a young woman in this space. And she's exactly what we're talking about, right? How do we keep paving the way for the next generation of women to keep succeeding in our industry?
Well, and I think just to build on that, so the notion is, what's the story you're telling yourself? So you could actually sit there and go, gosh, there aren't any other 12-year-old bloggers. I can't do it. That's a story you could tell yourself. Or the story you could tell yourself is, well, gosh, I want to do it, and I'm going to go do it.
And she's from North Dakota, right? So it's not like she's in Silicon Valley. She's from North Dakota.
So I think one of the things about, just to kind of double-click on this networking notion, is you get to define it. Power does not define you. So you don't get to look around and say, gosh, do I have permission to do this? Permission to ask someone for a mentor, etc. Permission to go do a really bold idea. No one is ever going to go, gosh, yes, you do have permission. You got to give yourself that permission first, and from that place, mentorship starts. So the people who say, there's been a bunch of research around, most people don't get mentors, but I think it starts with that story we're telling ourselves about, am I allowed?
Or nobody will do it. Nobody will have time.
Right?
Yeah. So some of the things that I want to make sure we talk about, and we're going to hop because we've got some men in the audience. I'm so happy to see men. What's a man's role in this conversation? What role do men play in creating more opportunities for women? Do they play a role? Should they be a part of this conversation? And I'm going to start with Margo.
As I look back over my career, every major decision that I've made and I guess every major transition has largely been motivated by a mentor that maybe knew a little bit about me and my interests and then said, hey, have you thought about this? Or, hey, have you thought about studying this topic or looking at maybe this kind of role? And I can see that going as far back. Even when I was in high school, I was studying art, and someone was like, hey, did you know there's this field called web design that's emerging? And maybe you should look into that as well. And I was like, okay, I'll look at that too. And it kind of fit with my interest, so I went on to study it. And then when I was in college, I sat down with a professor who was saying, maybe you should take some classes in rhetoric. That's important because I think you have some skills there. Content strategy is emerging. Take a look at that and kind of go down that path as well. So it was guidance from those good mentors. And about half of them have been men. Half of them have been women. The gender, I guess there's no defining qualities, I guess, about the mentors that I look for. They know who I am, and I see who are people that are in positions of experience or positions of power or have great networks for where I want to go, and let me seek them out.
So I'm going to hop to Leslie, but before I do, just to follow up, Margo, I read an interesting piece that said one of the barriers for men in mentoring women is a fear of perception, right? This perception of, you know, people may think there's something else going on between the two instead of a strictly professional relationship. And whether or not that's legitimate or not, the fear that that would be the perception, and how did they cross that barrier? Did you find that at all when you were seeking out your mentors or with your male mentors? Was there any hesitancy around that?
There wasn't ever any hesitancy that I noticed. I mean, there's like the normal, I think, logistics that go into meeting in a company where, you know, people usually meet with a door open and whatnot, but Yeah, I think that's it's only, I think, a problem if you give give credit to that problem.
Leslie?
So I want to go back to some of the statistics that Nilofer shared at the beginning. So if less than 10% of boards are comprised of women, who's the other 90%? Men. Mm-hmm. And with that power comes the access that we really are seeking. And if we think about it, men actually play the most critical role in mentoring. All of my significant mentors that have advanced my careers, my career, have been men. Three of them are actually in this room. Dave Grice, my first boss, Joe Chernov, my client and content strategy partner, and my partner, Jesse Thomas,
Woo-hoo,
who I co-founded.
Jessie.
And that's not to say that women haven't played a role, but I think women are actually, I look at women in positions of power and I see them as role models. I say, how does she get it all done? How does she have a family? How does she have children? Does she off-ramp and onboard back on to her career? And I role model. Whereas the male mentors are the ones who have the access, the relationships, and the power that I need to advance my career. The president of my alumni chapter in Washington, D.C. introduced me to John McLaughlin, a famous TV guy, and advocated on my behalf and said, you need to hire her, you need to make her her director, and you need to pay her a lot of money. And that was my first big break at 24 years old. I tripled my salary, and I became a director, and I became... From that point on, I'd never look back. And
unstoppable.
Unstoppable. And he told me. He said, this is what you're going to need to go in. This is what you're going to need to ask for. And I can't think of a better opportunity that I was able to get. And it was directly through that network. And guess what? It couldn't have been a more good old boy meeting, right? It was at the National Press Club. It's two old white men with Ivy League degrees having a conversation, advocating on my behalf. And I think that that's where we really need to think about how do we penetrate those networks? How do we get involved in the networks that have the power? And how can we also bring value? This isn't just about breaking down the gates and then taking over. It's about having that mutual understanding and that mutual respect and exchanging and aligning all of those incentives. So I would say that men play the most critical role in mentoring. And women, I think, as we look towards the C-suite and other areas, we also need to see role models. We need to see that we can be there and have families. I think Sheryl Sandberg's done an incredible job as a woman who was brought into a young company. She's monetized it. She's about to take it public. Oh, and by the way, she's also married and has kids. So that role modeling and hearing her speak about her experience, sorry, men, you don't get pregnant. You don't carry something around for 9 months, and the experience is going to be different as a woman. So role modeling in that direction, whereas mentoring, sponsorship, and kind of that access point can be through men. And there's examples of both the other way, but I would say, by and large, it splits across those lines.
I'm going to hop to Nilofer and then back to Katrina. Yeah.
So I think we do two things that are a disservice to this issue. One is, I think we sort of make this a men-women issue, and I actually don't think it's about gender for a minute. It's about how networks work. Networks are inherently about who you already know. You work with people you already know. So if you hang around and play basketball or whatever with certain people, go to football games, whatever, then you're going to actually know people in such a context that allows you to suck them in, right? And say, oh, I know someone that can come help us. And so when we make it personal, I think we do this issue a disservice. It's about networks. And so we have to figure out, how do we create more networks that allow us to have success? That's about being very intentional about our networking. Most women are not. There's research around that. Mm. And the second piece is to figure out, how do we start to shift men's networks? So one of the things I did when I was looking for a board seat, so I had shut down my company and I was actually feeling like quite a failure when I went through this process, but one of the things I did was I went and talked to I just literally looked at my LinkedIn and said, who already is a corporate board member? They all happen to be men. And I said, can I have lunch with you? Some of them I met through, I'm on a university board, et cetera. So I had relationships with these people. It was high trust. But it wasn't a corporate board relationship where, you know, you get compensated to come help a company to the next level and governance. And so I sat down with them, and all of them, and I said, okay, so how do you even think about the women issue on your board? And they said, we don't even know. Like, every single person, and sort of apologetically, like, I wouldn't even know how to change this issue if I tried.
Did they realize it was an issue, though?
Oh, absolutely. And they're actually kind of chagrined about it, right? Mm-hmm. And sort of embarrassed and sort of like self-conscious and hoping, God, we don't really have to have this conversation, do we? Right? And here's the thing, though. And I sat there and said, okay, so here's the deal. This is an issue of networks. Your network does not include people who are female, who are qualified. Can you agree with me that you will actually at least ask me, and I will give you at least three qualified candidates, because I'm one of those hyper-networked people who actually knows a bunch of people who are right for roles. And because I knew all of them, they were like, you're willing to help me, right? So all of a sudden now, I'm in a club with a group of people who actually are seeking my help. But in the process, what did I just finish doing? I signaled really hard that I'm qualified. I made sure they looked at my resume and bio and said I was qualified. When I got a board seat, it was because one of those people, I got 16 conversations going as a result of that. So I met with 10 people, 16 conversations, you said yes to one.
So can I ask you a question, though, Nilofer? You know, my mom has this expression. She says, the door to power only opens from the inside. And to Leslie's point, you know, 90% of who's on these boards are men. How do you get men to care?
They do care.
About,
I think that's the thing. We're making it personal, like they don't care. They do care. They don't know how to solve it. So then you saying, by the way, you man should solve this. Oh my God, could you make it any harder? Right? So become part of the solution, don't become part of the problem. So don't say, by the way, men, you have a problem. So Chris Anderson just ran TED this last year, and I wrote him this email, which, okay, if this gets in the press, he'll be mad. But so I wrote him this email, and I said, I think that TED values theorists over practical people. And I said, the reason I know that is because you just put this guy on stage who actually quit his job because he suddenly got one of his Jerry Maguire moments, like, oh, these values at work thing is really important. So he basically has this moment. He gets to go on the TED stage to talk about it, and he has a consulting business out of it. I've been doing the same work for 10 years. I have a book on it. I've actually got practical metrics on it. I'm way further down the road, but I'm a doer. Theorists hang around in clumps. This is the issue about networks. Theorists actually refer to each other. That's why authors and journalists kind of cross-refer against each other's content, and things get amplified. How networks work is people who are at the macro level, journalists, academics, et cetera, all cross-reference each other. Practical people who are actually doing work actually don't cross-reference each other because what are they doing? They're building great shit. So, by the way, they don't get amplified. They can't be found. That's why the women's network thing is about women tend to choose, and there's research around this, tend to choose actually doing great shit. Exactly. So, okay, so now they're going out there changing the world, and then they can't get on the stage because, by the way, they're not referenced.
Yeah.
And so I just pointed out to Ted, do you like, do you see the issue now? Because I actually see it. I actually was sitting there
invisible.
Living it.
Yeah.
And I wasn't trying to make it like it was nothing about sour grapes, but I finally understood something that was tangible. Like, Chris, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. You're just biased towards theoretical understanding of things. And by the way, that's fixable.
Great. I like that, keeping it framed in solutions so it doesn't become personal. It's about solutions. Hey, we should all recognize women are underrepresented. Here's what we can do about it. And that's really what we're trying
to focus
on. Well,
we can also contribute to that too, right? Because, I mean, as I say, is we tend to think about it as oh, women, you know, men don't care. They will not participate. You need to get in, just like you did. You need to get in and ask. You know, some of the male mentors that I had, if I hadn't approached them and said, I think you're doing great stuff, you have a huge amount of knowledge, would you be willing to sit down with me and talk? They're happy to do so. We don't ask. And then we do all this great shit, and then we do ourselves a disservice by saying, covering it up and saying, oh, well, that was nothing. Hell yeah, that was something. You go in and you own it just like anybody else. Why do you think, well, and I don't want to generalize, you know, men, women, but why do you think successful people, and tend to be men, do that? Because they feel comfortable owning things. Whereas women would say, oh, no worries, you know, I have this career, I work 24/7, then I have, you know, children, I have other things to worry about. We need to go out and own it, and we need to ask for it.
And this is speaking as a mother, by the way. So she's not marginal. Yeah. She is a mother who's doing it.
So intentional networking is different. So there's a research that says women basically go network with people they already like, which, by the way, is keeping them all in their comfort zone. And social ability, right? Do you like me? Do I like you? Men actually do strategic networking, mm-hmm. where they actually go, who should I actually know? And there's research on this, so I'm not actually doing like a stereotypical kind of thing. I'm actually trying to say there's research around this. Men actually say, who should I know? Then they go find them. Yeah. Then they go meet with them and say, I should know you because, and you should know me because.
Exactly.
So, I mean, that's a tip, right? It's just to figure out how to like sit there and go, okay, get me outside my own comfort zone.
So I'm going to, this has been such a great discussion. We started 5 minutes late on purpose because it was early, but we are now at that point where I want to open it up to questions.
Or stories. If you guys have stories or learnings, we would love to hear that.
And while the mics are being passed, please raise your hands if you have questions and they'll seek you out. I just want to say to Ekaterina's point, I'm going to start with the woman over there in the blue. To Ekaterina's point, one of my biggest sponsors is John Battelle, the co-founder of Wired Magazine, Federated Media chairman, and how I formed that relationship is literally just walking up to him saying, you know, I really want to know you, I really want to spend some time getting to know you, here are my goals, you know, and so it's true, if you put yourself out there, and that's why we have bold across the t-shirts and Inspire, really be bold. You've really got nothing to lose, and never say no to yourself. Let someone else tell you no, but don't say no to yourself.
And then go ask someone else until you get a yes.
Yes, love it.
Keep asking. Okay, question?
Well, one thing real quick is I am a blogger turned into a 3-time best-selling author, so so if anyone is looking to go that route, I'm happy to be a mentor. But my question is, I do a lot of speaking at conferences, and I am the only woman, but I'm 30, but I look 25, I hope. So I find that a lot of the other men speakers kind of brush me off, even though I'm just as successful as them, because one, I'm a woman, and two, because I look so young. And do you have any advice for sort of overcoming that prejudice with the audience as well as with the other speakers?
Leslie and I just talking just about that before the panel.
A little tiny bit more information.
I turned 30 in May, so shout out there on the age. And I feel like I've looked a lot younger for a long time. My sister is 5 years younger than I am, and they've always asked, oh, so how's college? And she's actually in high school, and I'm the one in college. I would say that I've never run into sexism. I think that's one thing I can say, that we've really come a long way when you look at Mad Men. I was watching the movie Tootsie the other night. If you haven't seen it, go home and rent it. It's really, really wonderful. We've come a long way when it comes to sexism, but ageism is really interesting at both ends of the spectrum. I think there's a lot of people that disvalue younger folks and older folks, and there's this kind of bias towards anyone over 35 but under 45. So it's a really interesting thing professionally. And the way I've overcome it, I grew up on a farm, I've got my Nevada ring on in Nevada and Oregon. And, you know, I kind of give them a firm handshake, look them in the eye. I act like my dad, basically. I tell jokes. I quote Mark Twain. lies, damn lies and statistics. Things like that, you know, and I make sure. And I also, you got to play the game. I think Nilifer brought it up, that the idea of networking. I always look at the networks that I want to achieve, and I almost like a chessboard. And I know I've got to probably make 2 moves there, 1 move to the left. And I think social media actually gives you a really interesting tool with 1 degree of separation on LinkedIn, 2 degrees,
powerful
3.
Advantage.
And how can you work towards that and make that kind of your overall goal? But I would definitely say, you know, you stand up straight, the firm handshake, and if they aren't taking you seriously, that, I hate to, you know, say it, but it's not only it's their loss, but their network is going to be depleted as a result. And the kind of the homophily, the like of the same kind that Nilifer is talking about, they're going to truncate their own abilities and their own networking power through
that.
Okay,
so let's get some more questions. Sorry, I want to get as many questions. We'll have different panelists take the lead, so that way each one. Let's go ahead and have Issa's dad here. Oh, go ahead.
Thank you. My name is Sine. I work at the Lego Group. It's in Denmark. Would you say that you would have to meet up in person, or could a mentor session actually be on Skype?
I'm going to have Margot answer that.
Yeah, I actually do a lot of mentoring over Skype. I do think there's a lot of value in the face-to-face contact, and certainly, you know, getting to read body language better than you can over Skype or over the phone and whatnot. But don't let geography separate you from an opportunity either.
I'm from Alaska. I can attest to that. Most of the people I'm building networks with are pretty much just virtual, using online tools effectively. I believe we have a gentleman in the back. I want to make sure we get to him. He's one of the first. Is there a mic? Can we get a mic to him?
I'm an engineer, and I mentor plenty of young men on how to be better engineers. I've now been approached by a young woman. How should I treat her any differently, or is there any advice on how to help her be more successful in becoming an engineer?
Why do you think you should treat her differently?
I don't think I should treat her differently. I just want to make sure that UTech Superwomen agree that she...
I love it. It's like stamp of approval.
See, that thought coming to your mind is where the problem is, right? The root of the problem. That instead of looking at her as just another person wanting, you know, advice, you look at it, oh, is she going to get emotional? You know, is there an issue? I think that's where the problem lies. I don't know.
I'm actually going to interject real quick. I don't think this would be my tip to you. I don't think it's wrong to ask the question, right? Because I don't believe we ignore difference. I mean, I'm black. I'm sorry. If people say they're colorblind, give me a break. Of course you see my color. It's what you do about the difference, right? Yeah. So it's not wrong to acknowledge that she's a woman. I think when you approach her, you might be mindful as a man, you've seen some of the bias that goes on. So maybe you can give her some tips on how to get around that. I think that would be invaluable as a male mentor to give her those tips. Like, you're going to run into these stereotypes. Here's what I suggest you do about it, right?
Thank you. Totally worth applause. This is how a guy thinks about this issue. Mm-hmm. Women have women speak. And I have so many men. Giga Ohm recently asked me to come start writing for him, so I had lunch so he could pitch me. And by the way, I said no because, I mean, working for free, good God. But his pitch was, I will help you with headlines. I will help you with all this stuff. And then I was asking somebody, I was clearly doing an ask, or at least I thought I was clearly doing an ask. And he said, you know, you're talking like a girl, right? And I said, okay, tell me what you just heard. And he goes, I heard blah, blah, blah. And he goes, I think you actually have a more specific ask, but you're not saying it. And I so honor the fact that he busted me on that. It's because true. The more I get that immediate feedback, Mark, by the way, who's sitting here, one time told somebody else that I touched his arm a lot, which is a very feminine thing to do. Yeah. We actually connect. We're very social animals. We don't mean to be. We just really are.
Yeah.
Men actually are not. Touching is a completely different construct with men. And I got that feedback. And so the feedback loop that you can help with is, I'm sorry to have to be the first. If I'm the first one, I'm really sorry to be the one to tell you this. But, and then help us fill in a truth that we honestly can't see. Yeah.
And there's a whole book on that called Code Breaking, and it talks about how women and men inherently, for the most part, do have different communication patterns. And it is valuable to look at that to understand. Because communication ultimately is about clarity, right?
Right.
So it's figuring out how you can be the most clear in your environment. So I do want to get to a few more questions, but Margo had something she wanted to add real quickly to that. So if you want to...
Oh, just kind of along... Sir, don't go away just yet. This is kind of still for you. Well, you can sit if you want. Whatever.
I gave her the mic, so...
Okay. Just along the lines of, you said mentoring kind of like more junior engineers and whatnot. I'm sure the men that you've mentored, whether they're right out of college or maybe a few years out and whatnot, they all haven't been like a monolithic entity. I think... Again, regardless of gender, you're helping that person that you're mentoring become that idealized, better version of themselves for the next year, the next job. I've had some mentors that have actually mentored me out of jobs as well within their own organizations because they said, hey, what you're doing, it's great, it's good for you, but we can't support that enough here. Keep going, Elsa.
Okay, so we've got a woman right here in the black, right here. she's right there.
She's right there.
Turn around.
Oh. She's trying to get you.
In the black, sorry.
The dance. Yeah, she's doing the dance.
She's doing the John Travolta. And I just want to applaud the gentleman who stood up as a mentor because that's what it takes. We need more people stepping up being mentors. So thank you. Thank you for what you're doing.
Thanks.
Yes, ma'am.
I have two things. A response for the lady. I'm an Asian female who's like three apples high. I'm 38. I get that young thing all the time, but I take the behavior or the attitude that you need to know who I am, and if you don't, it's your loss. And that kind of actually translates to how I behave with people. But also, my question is, I wear two hats. I'm a principal at Culture Pilot, it's a creative agency, and I also work with DFJ Mercury, which is a venture capital fund. And we don't see enough women who are approaching us for funding. What are some of the challenges that women face who are seeking funding, and what are your recommendations for overcoming that?
Niloufer, can you take that, and then maybe Leslie speak to it real briefly?
I think the one thing venture firms could do if they were really serious about getting more venture into women is to have an advisory board of women. Women know other women. Cold introductions never work. I mean, just think about how people get introduced to you and how you get introduced to other people. Never works. So if your network is already closed in the sense of who you already know, then you have no way of actually accessing them, and more importantly, they have no way of accessing you, right? So the capital system doesn't flow correctly. And so one of the things I've been asking all the venture firms that I've been talking to is form an advisory group of women who are incredibly powerful, and they see every deal. I mean, I see 10 deals a week. I could funnel the ones I think are interesting, apply some judgment, and say, go take a look at these and do the warm intro. And then that would allow a different conversation to happen. But right now, we're allowing closed circuits to operate independently, and someone's got to bridge that. And I think the VC firm that actually does this and does it right will actually have a strategic advantage.
Excellent. Leslie, do you want to add anything about going after funding?
I would just add that, and this may be an unpopular position to take, but you know, the way that this country is established, and for the most part, it's really only a network issue. It's really not systemic or regulated bias. Like, if you've got the best idea, whether you're a man or a woman, whether you're black, whether you're Asian, whether you're from Nevada, you should be able to seek out opportunities. And if things that are standing in your way are related to those things, then you know, you've got a lawsuit on your hands. And I really think that it's the best ideas have been bubbling up to the surface, and up to this point, okay, we'll give it to the men. They've had a strategic advantage. And you really look at the last 20, 30 years of education, it's only been since the 70s and 80s that women have really been coming into professional vocations, law degrees, business degrees, PhDs. Guess what? We're saturating those areas, and yes, in another 20 or 30 years, we're going to see a cataclysmic shift because we were systemically and structurally held back for so very long. We couldn't vote for a while there. And then in the 50s, we could only have paraprofessional roles, and people really did hold us back because of our gender. That doesn't exist anymore. So we've got the education, we've got the access, and those numbers will shift, and the only thing standing in our own way or standing in the way will be ourselves.
So I'm going to take a quick moment and check with our timekeeper. Can we go 5 minutes over since we started 5 minutes late? She may duck out, but
I can run.
Can we do five over?
Or we can keep the conversation going.
Let's give her applause. Yeah. Woo! Thank you. Well, okay, so I'm going to try and take at least three more questions, and then we're going to close with some takeaways from the panelists.
And maybe just ask one of us to answer the question. So direct the question.
Yeah, I'm going
to
direct the question. So show of hands.
Oh, that's lovely.
This is Issa's dad.
Yes.
He brought her.
Yes.
Woo!
Good job.
So my question more than anything is about also knowing our limits as mentors. You know, we have to totally understand probably our skills, and I think that's for the betterment of the whole system or that network that Nilfer just mentioned. And my question is, how do you know when you're actually, or what are your limits, so when you know that somebody, because I can see it right now, not only for my daughter, but people that I have actually helped before me, that I have seen their progress so fast, and I actually seek out help from people that I think are better than me and kind of pass the baton and say, you know what, seek this person because they are a lot better.
Yeah, so the question is really how do you tap yourself? How do you know whether or not you're done? Mm-hmm. And I consider myself a one-year catapult. My job is to get you catapulted so that I'm completely out of a job. In fact, exactly. This panel should not exist in another 5 years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yep, that's worth applauding. Because this is a bullshit issue, and it's completely solvable. But two parts. So I just really want to argue with this group for a minute, right? So we often put the onus back to the individual. Clay Shirky wrote that thing about, why it was a rant against women, where he basically put all the onus on women, saying, you know, they basically don't claim their own power, they show up not asking well, etc. And I'm like, well, what about the other part where the networks are really closed off?
Yep.
And I think we miss the micro and the macro. And my undergrad's in econ, and I'm always like, you know, people, nobody does anything in a vacuum. So one of the things we've got to do is get people to step up. And when we do mentor, make it a one-year commitment or make it a six-month commitment and say, listen, I'm going to download on you and figure out how to help you and connect you to my networks. Rest is up to you. Go move on. Go fucking kick ass in the world. Sorry, Dad, just used bad language. Sorry. Go do that stuff that you're meant to go do, and I'm simply here as a catapult, and I get no credit. In fact, when Tara mentioned me in that Forbes article that Leslie wrote, I was kind of embarrassed because I was like, because I'm not trying to be visible. I'm actually trying to be a catapult to her because I believe she can go do good things.
And to the point, I just want to point out a frame this is how I approach it, and I really encourage you guys all to think about it this way, because I think there's some anxiety, right? It's like, oh my gosh, can I really sponsor someone? That's a big time commitment, right? Could I find a sponsor? If I can't find a sponsor, what am I going to do? Niloufer is not a sponsor of mine, but she's someone who's been a sounding board for me. So this is my advice. If you can sponsor, do it. If you can't, mentor. If you can't mentor, open a door. If you can't open a door, have a lunch with someone. Do something. Just do one thing. It makes a difference. It really does. And for those looking for mentors, take whatever you can get. If it's just a conversation, awesome. Ask, is there anyone else I should know? You just keep going. You got to chart your own path in that regard. Okay, a couple more questions. Hands up. There's a gentleman here with the glasses. Sorry to call you glasses.
Hi, I wanted to say that the thought earlier about mutual benefit, mentor-mentee relationships, I think is a really powerful concept that I haven't seen written about or discussed very much. I think so often we see that we talk about mentorship as like, oh, you give to these folks. If more professionals thought they could actually receive something from being a mentor, I think there'd be a lot more of it out there.
Yeah,
and
right.
Those of you guys who write about this stuff when you're not busy kicking ass, I definitely think it's a ripe concept that I'd love to read more about.
Agreed.
Good job.
I'm a big proponent of the idea that mentoring doesn't have to be an altruistic act. As Catherine mentioned in the beginning, I spend a lot of time going into university classrooms basically to say, you need to dream bigger. If you're getting a degree in English or in design, here's what I'm doing with those things. Here's what I did. This is what my portfolio looked like when I was your age. Let me review your portfolio. Let me review your resumes, give you feedback, all of that type stuff. That is not altruistic. That's because I want smart people to work with in 5 or 10 years that have had the kind of educational experiences that I think they should have. I don't want to be working with some idiot that doesn't know how to present in front of a client. I want them to have gained those experiences because they've gone through the right path, because someone came in and said, hey, take a class in public speaking. Hey, get this kind of internship. Because that's what worked for me.
It is.
Maybe
awesome.
It'll work for you,
okay,
too.
So like popcorn, let's get a couple more questions and if we can squeeze them in. Let's see. I want to make sure I get someone from the back. Can we hit that woman in the very back with the wristband? And then we'll come to the front, and then we'll be done. Sorry. I wish I could get to everyone.
Hi, my name's Jean Brooks. Actually, kind of bouncing off of that point, I'm a little uncomfortable with the term mentors and mentees, most especially as it relates to women and their networking, and part of that is because I see that it tends to be a hierarchical relationship. And what I sort of just shouted out was the term that I like to use is called horizontal loyalty. I did not coin the term. Robert Coleridge did in his graduation speech to USC Annenberg last year, which you can catch online if you're looking for more info on that. But that concept, and part of that is encompassed in this group that I'm a part of that Leslie Bradshaw is also called the Tech Lady Mafia, which was born because we couldn't, there was a group of people who, you know, we couldn't really identify the right mentors. And most of them were kind of saying, I need something back. And the mentor-mentee relationship didn't really fit. And so what we wanted to do is build a network of women at a variety of expertise and levels. So I guess, is that something different than mentor, mentee? How do you see that all sort of fitting?
I want E-Katrina to take this one real fast, and then we're going to hop to the front.
Well, I think the mentorship is what it is to you. I mean, you know, Leslie keeps saying, well, you know, she's my mentor too. She's younger than me. She owns her own company and runs it where I am. I love working on the brand side. Never ran a whole brand, right, or my own company. So I think it's what works for you and what, you know, it's just what you can get out of it. I don't know. I personally hate, you know, hey, define this. I personally don't like putting labels on anything. I think every single person is different, and what that means to you is different. So what my relationship would be with Leslie might be different from Niloufer because we have different things to offer each other.
I think it's important, though, just to jump in, and yeah, Tech Lady Mafia, it doesn't have to be an age hierarchical thing.
Exactly.
You can be across. I mean, my partner, Jesse, and I are 4 days apart, and we mentor one another because he's really good at designing UX and product, and I'm good at the business and the econ and the leadership side of things, and we mentor one another. So I do love the idea of horizontal loyalty, and I think we've probably presented a lot of ideas of advocacy, advisor, mentor, sponsor. So a lot of these terms hopefully give you some thought, and then looking at the Latin roots will give you some more thinking about what the origins and what they can kind of mean for you as you...
So I'm going to hop over to our final question. And while she's walking over there, I just want to say that Sensibility is very millennial. So for those of you who are intergenerationally mentoring, millennials really want to make sure they can bring something to the table. So it's very important that whatever you're setting
co-create.
Up is a co-creation model. Okay,
exactly.
Go ahead.
Thank you so much for giving me the last question. And thank you, everyone, panel. It's been wonderful and inspiring. Ooh. So I run an agency of my own, and everyone who works there is under 30. It's very, very, very hard to balance being a leader in that, being a young person myself, I'm 28, and also mentoring everyone who's coming up beneath me. So we have an agency of around 70% women. We have a couple of guys there too, but it makes it very, very hard for me to continually be inspiring to them whilst I am looking for my own way myself. So how do you balance that, being both?
I run an agency. Most people are under 30, and I went out and I bought a mentor, Merrick, M-E-R-R-Y-C-K, and they only have mentors in their grouping that have already gone and sold a company, run a company. So my mentor is 62 years old, and she brought a team from 2 to 1,500 globally in the people and change business for PricewaterhouseCoopers, and she was assigned to me because she scaled globally. She was assigned to me because she also had worked with her significant other, and we do a service exchange. I can't afford $25,000 a quarter, but I can put forth consulting services, branding services, things where I can write off and find cost benefits. So I would say once you hit a point where you look around and there's nobody above you, you really actually do need to invest in professional mentoring services. And that's a higher end of the spectrum, but it's out there, and I highly recommend it.
So while we're probably out of time, but I'm going to go real fast on the panel. If you can just share one thing that you want everyone to take away, something that people can do. And right before we do that, to my point, I would just say to you, think about, do you want an advisor or a mentor? A business mentor is going to look very different, right, is what Leslie's describing. But there's also a life advisor. So if you're looking for more a life advisor, that's going to look different. So just get clear on maybe kind of what you're looking for, and I think you'll find it.
Let's start down with Nilfer, because I know both her and Margo have a book event they need to run.
Yes, they have awesome book events. Go ahead,
Nilfer. There's a book event, and so I'm going to learn how to jog to the next location. One thing is just to really think about being more intentional about your networking, and to figure out, like, actually ask yourself, I have one thing a year I commit to learning, and I choose it, and then I sit there and make a list of who all in the world knows it. Then I start asking the heck out of that question, and then I figure out how to strategically network, and undoubtedly I end up getting to where I need to go. Very intentional about that process. So just really and then one thing a year. It's not, you don't have to judge yourself also for how hard it is at the very beginning, because at some point it will become easy.
Leslie?
That's great. I'm just going to return back to the mutual incentives. When you go and you ask, this is what I need, this is what I'm seeking, to Nilfer's point, and being intentional, also make sure you come with a give. This is what I also want to bring to the table. Here's some things, here's some research I did around you, here's how I can help you, whether it be consulting, whether it be insights about the demographic that you represent, whether it be even some introductions, all of those things. So make sure to come with both the ask and the give.
I'm going to hop to Margo because she's also going to go for her book signing.
Sure. What I bring into the classroom, I guess, is what I would bring here as well, that if you cannot dream it, you cannot do it. And in order to accomplish whatever goal you have in your career, you need three things: vision, strategy, and then tactics for getting there. And a mentor can help you realize that vision by helping you plot a course. Say, here's how I've done it before. But you need to always be thinking in terms of those three things, and then have big dreams so that you can do big things.
Love it. Katrina?
I'd say, don't be afraid. Everything you would do is because of the fear. Fail your way to amazing. Fail again and again, and don't let anybody discourage you because of a gender, because of sex, or anything else out there. Everything else I would say has been already spoken about, but I think that's one thing that also stops us. And when you meet somebody, ask them. The very first question you need to ask them is, how can I help you? What can I do for you? that sort of generosity, you can call it a mutual relationship, but that will open doors, open networks, and will automatically bring mentors to you.
So my advice real quickly is literally what we have in the T-shirts. Be bold, inspire others, and look for inspiration. I mean, I didn't build Tech by Superwomen. Just it's solely been built on relationships, networking, and co-mentoring and having mentors. So if you're interested, please follow the conversation on the Tech Superwomen blog. We're profiling women at all different stages in their life to talk about these issues and for inspiration and to encourage us all to be bold. Again, a special thank you to Meshen. Please download Recall Much campaign. They've got Meshen Recall going on, a super cool app, and we just want to thank them and thank all of you for your active participation. We really appreciate it and all the amazing tweets, and please stay connected with us. And these are amazing ladies you can reach out to on Twitter. So, again...
And two plugs. Nilfer wanted me to make sure that she says, I scale my ideas and my mentoring, a lot of the awesome things she said today, through her blog.
Yes.
And definitely check out Nilfer's blog. I also blog for Forbes on the topic of getting more women more power seats. So just forbes.com/Leslie Bradshaw. So check those things out, because we may not be able to do one-on-one mentorships, but there's a lot of sharing of information. And
they're both great resources. I go to them a lot. So again, thank you so much. Round of applause for yourself. And thank you to our South By staff for letting us run over.